Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Postmodern culture often considers only the monetary aspect of aging. Our need for financial and physical security is certainly important. However, what about our emotional and spiritual lives? Must we simply drift into aging without conscious intention, or may we strive to model life-sustaining values with wisdom and compassion, lending our energy to heal our wounded planet? What is conscious elderhood? How do we deal with fears around aging? How may we find fulfillment and dignity as we age? If we agree that growing into the role of elder is a good thing, then what will it look like in our modern world? These questions and more will serve as the focus of our dialogue today with Ron Pevney. Ron Pevney is the founder and director of the Colorado-based Center for Conscious Eldering. He's a certified saging leader with Saging International and conducts workshops and retreats across America. Ron Pevney is the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. Join us for the next hour as we explore a passionate engagement with life and the gifts of aging with our guest, Ron Pevney. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Ron, welcome.
Thank you, Justine. I feel deeply honored to be able to talk with you on New Dimensions.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to have you, truly. And I know that your life's work has to do with a conscious retirement age, this conscious eldering, this maybe last chapter of our lives. And before we go into that, I'd love for you to talk about how in our culture, in society, we look at a good retirement is like having a lot of leisure, maybe being able to have enough money to travel and being with our grandchildren. All of this is really fine and good. But you hold that we can find more fulfillment. There's something else going on, and you call it conscious eldering. And before we actually talk about what that really is, I would love you to share with us what inspired you to get into this work in the first place.
Well, I learned a long time ago, probably back in 1979, that my calling, the work that brought me most alive and where I could best share my gifts, was in helping people move through life transitions. And way back then, I had the incredible good fortune to be able to mentor with Stephen Foster and Meredith Little, who are recognized as the grandfather and grandmother of bringing recognition of the importance of rites of passage into our modern world. I trained with them. I became one of the first contemporary Vision Quest guides. And for many years, my heart's work was to help people move through transition using wilderness rites of passage.
I would love for you to also, I know that you've worked with these wonderful mentors, Stephen Foster and Meredith Little, but there was a moment in your life that you experienced like a real heart arrhythmia, was it? Do you recall that?
That was one of the most pivotal learning and growth experiences of my whole life. And that happened about 10 or 11 years ago. I had begun to offer a rite of passage type of program with two wise elders, Wes Burwell and Ann Roberts, wiser and more elder than me. And the three of us were offering a program to help somehow prepare people for a journey into what we view as a true elderhood. But I was feeling like an imposter. I was feeling like, you know, what did I know about this? I was too young. I could speak things well, but it didn't feel like it was coming from the depths of experience. And so I offered a prayer. Please give me some experience that will show me or help me to feel that I truly understand what it is I'm teaching. And so my teaching comes from a depth in myself. And about that time, I got a response to that prayer, and that was a significant health crisis. And the health crisis involved some serious heart arrhythmias, and then the discovery that there was also a significant tumor on one of my lungs. It turned out that the tumor was not malignant. This whole experience, when I really thought for a while that I was near death, showed me so much about vulnerability and about fear and about a sense of unfinished business, a sense of a legacy that I felt that I had that had not been fulfilled. So many of those kind of things that are the dynamics that many people have to deal with and face as we age. I emerged from this health crisis with a whole, I felt that it was my rite of passage. It was my initiation into truly being able to share the conscious eldering insights that it seems to be my calling to share at this point. What a gift that was.
Wow. So I was like, be careful what you wish for in the prayer. But and you came out of that, you're well. A tumor was in your lung, and it was benign, and it turned out well, except that you are now a different person.
That's right. But I'll add one more piece to the story, if I may. After the tumor was removed, the doctors thought, well, the heart arrhythmias maybe were somehow related to it, and it all would be well with the arrhythmias too. And that wasn't the case. The arrhythmias went on. It was a very frightening time for me. And I remember one night going to bed and going into some kind of state, sleep, trance, I don't know what it was. And I felt this huge darkness descending on me. I could just see this. It felt like death itself. And that was the moment of, I think, the most complete surrender I've ever experienced in my life. I basically called out and said, God, Great Spirit, there's nothing else I can do. If you've got a purpose for me, if you've got a calling, please somehow heal me and let me know that. And in that moment, I felt something explode out of me. It felt like an energetic release. And I woke up with a start knowing that some kind of huge healing had happened. And that was the end of the heart arrhythmias. And so for me, that was this incredible affirmation that, Ron, you do have a calling. I am with you. It's going to take a lot of surrender. Just like you surrendered right now in order for you to fulfill this calling. So on so many levels, this was one of the pivotal experiences of my life.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And so I had asked earlier, you used the term conscious eldering. What does that mean to you? Can you describe that for us a bit?
To me, conscious eldering is an understanding and a commitment to a way of growing older, a way of aging, in which we consciously strive to grow ourselves into the kind of elder that we all have the potential to be. I strongly believe that even though our culture does not honor elderhood, doesn't know what to do with older adults, we've lost that understanding that's been part of humanity forever about the role of elder. I believe that there is an archetypal elder that wants to emerge in all of us as we get to a certain point in life, past midlife adulthood. It wants to emerge. It tries to emerge. We have the opportunity, though, to consciously support its emergence and to grow into elderhood, an elderhood that in the world we live in isn't clearly defined by any means. You don't have a whole lot of guidebooks on what it is to be an elder, but it is a kind of elderhood that is part of our humanity and that our world urgently needs in these difficult times that we're in now. We need the wisdom and the heart and the wholeness of true elders, and we can consciously support that unfolding in ourselves, and that's what conscious eldering is.
I know you mentioned in your work how there are tens of thousands of people who are now in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and more, who are full of experience, life experience, and wisdom. And this is a wonderful resource we need now in these times. And before we talk about that, I would love for you to read something from your book. It's a story that I know our listeners have heard before, but maybe not quite in this context. So if you would read about the Cherokee story of which wolf to feed and something that you mentioned in your book.
I'd be happy to. A passionate woman in her early 60s, feeling she was finally emerging from a difficult passage that had led her out of midlife adulthood, approached a wise, wrinkled, white-haired elder, widely recognized in the community as an exemplar of wisdom. The young emerging elder said to the wise elder, "I have within me a beautiful vision, or at least parts of a vision, of becoming like you. I have an inspiring sense of how I can use my best qualities, skills, and gifts to serve our community and be personally fulfilled as I age. I'm having some wonderful experiences of spiritual connection. My creativity seems to be coming to life again. I'm feeling more peace, joy, and optimism than I have in a long time. However, I'm also very aware of a whole other side to me. I often feel fear. Sometimes it is fear that I'm just deluding myself about conscious elderhood, and that growing old is really just a drag. Sometimes it's fear that no matter what visions I have, there's no way I can achieve them in the real world that I live in. Sometimes it's just a free-floating fear of the world and my life in the future. And I'm also aware that I have so many habits that I can't seem to change that seem to numb me out. My passion and optimism seem to fade so easily, and I don't know why. My heart feels open one day, closed the next. It seems there are two selves within me at war with each other. You're a wise elder. Please tell me, which one will win?" The elder looked into her eyes with compassion and responded, "The one you feed."
I'm here with Ron Pevney. He's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. here with Ron Pevney, and he is the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. And he is also the founder of the Center for Conscious Eldering. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, centerforconscious.eldering.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. By the way, he spells his last name Pevney, P-E-V as in Victor, N-Y, Pevney. Ron, thank you so much for reading that beautiful passage in your book. And it really, I think, exemplifies the challenge we have in going forward in our lives into the next chapter. So what can you tell us about conscious eldering and how we can engage into that next chapter?
I think it's so important, first of all, to even recognize that there are possibilities for a next chapter. And I think what in the world that we live in and the culture that we live in, what we see is so many of us not having any awareness that there really are possibilities for ongoing growth and transformation as we age to become true elders. Our society certainly doesn't give us any messages or have a paradigm for aging that shows that as even a possibility for many people. And so therefore, many people think that the best we can hope for as we age is to continue to be who we have been, you know, throughout midlife, to continue to try to hold on to what has been meaningful to us, to stay as active as we possibly can.
And there's a certain kind of identity that we're identifying with there, with that very active midlife person.
Yeah, it's an identity that may very well have served us well in midlife. But the reality is that in terms of the way our psyches, our inner selves want to unfold and grow, that's not an identity that we can hold on to and really have fulfillment and reach anywhere near our potential as we get older and older.
I think when we look at certain depictions or ads, let's say, that really encourage us to keep on doing what we've been doing, to keep looking younger, to keep active, to keep up a certain pace. And I guess that's fine, but what's the backside of that?
I think the backside of that is that, for one thing, as we get older, we're not going to be able to keep up the pace. And if we keep trying and trying, though, because that's who we know ourselves to be, all we're going to do is wear ourselves out and yet find that our lives are unsatisfactory efforts to remain who we used to be, and we just can't do it anymore. Another backside or downside of that is that if we are firmly holding on to that identity, then there is not room for us to recognize and support the new identity, the elderhood in us that wants to emerge. And that identity requires what I call the inner work of conscious eldering. That requires more and more of an inner focus, reflecting on our lives, deepening our spirituality, letting go of that which needs to be let go so we could move into a new chapter, a whole new way of viewing ourselves. And if we are firmly attached to a midlife identity, then there just isn't room for us to do this inner work to support the kind of elderhood that wants to emerge. And some of it may begin to emerge in spite of us, just because there is a strong call within us human beings to become more inward as we age. But for a lot of us, it may not emerge, or it may certainly not reach its potential, because we're not supporting it and even recognizing it.
Now, there's a kind of paradox that you're talking about, because you're talking about an inward search, and yet you're not talking about how we go into isolation in our lives. It's not a lonely search, I don't believe.
Well, obviously, I think the inner journey has its aspects of being uniquely personal. But it is a search that needs the support of community. It needs the support of others in order to really unfold. I mean, we are social beings. We're beings that see ourselves reflected in each other. We need the support of kindred spirits. Because the forces that keep pushing us to be unconscious are so strong,
and it's so easy. Own personal habits.
Yeah. We've internalized so much of that without having a community of kindred spirits, doesn't have to be large, but that makes all the difference in the world.
Exactly. Now, in our culture, though, let's just take one example. Housing. In our culture, there we have very few options about how to live. We can go into age and go into a nursing home, or go into a senior housing, maybe, or to go into if we're lucky enough to have enough finances that we live in our own homes and able to do that. But that's an isolation. So how do we overcome that sense of isolation?
Well, I think there's several ways. And one really encouraging dynamic I see happening is that there's a proliferation now of models and efforts to bring people together in community as they age. And one of them is the whole co-housing movement. Another is the Beacon Hill Village model, you know, both models that I encourage our listeners to explore. There are a lot of different kinds of creative living arrangements that can bring people together.
I can give a little bit of example. I live in senior housing, so I have some experience of the variety of people there, and somehow there have been a few of us that have gotten together who are wanting to support one another and be effective in the world in some way, to make a contribution to our community and to the world. And so we meet regularly and we talk about things that we care about. And in fact, we just did a whole list. What do we most value? And we did a whole list of 1, 2, 3, and everybody put in their particular values. And we found that there are certain things that we really value. And it's been wonderful to feel that support for each other. And one of our members has gone through a health crisis recently, and so we're all there to help with that. That's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, there are various models now. Various kinds of senior housing communities, you know, villages and co-housing and things that, by their very nature, they promote people being with each other and cooperating. But within that, then there's an increasing number of people who feel called to conscious eldering, to the spiritual exploration, that are gathering together, as you're describing, Justine, you know, whether they're living in the kind of community you are, or whether they're just living in their own homes, there are more and more elder wisdom circles. which is something that the organization Saging International is strongly promoting and teaching people how to form. And more people just getting together to explore, what does aging mean to me? What are the challenges? What are the possibilities? How can we support each other? So regardless of where you live, if there's a commitment to finding a community of supportive souls, then we can find it. And if we can't find it, we go and we create it. But just recognizing how essential that is for our well-being, for many, is a motivator to get out and to act.
Now, I'm wondering too, Ron, in that eldering, there's also a need, I guess, if you say that there's wisdom within this group, there's experience within this group, and if this group of people come together and they're feeling that they're working on their inner life, they continue to learn and to unfold. What do you see about reaching back or out across to younger people, to a younger generation? There's very little activity going that meeting place of these two groups of people. Can you talk about that?
I think that is absolutely critical. And in fact, in conferences I go to, workshops and retreats I lead, that subject is always coming to the forefront. That conscious eldering, in some ways, it's a journey that only people, on that particular journey can understand. And so you need to support each other. But by definition, and this is the way it's always been throughout human history as we know it, the role of elder has been intimately tied with service to the younger generations, with serving as a mentor, serving as a guide, serving as a friend, serving as a model for wholeness and for how to live life. And so the whole theme of intergenerational relationships is so important in conscious eldering now.
I want to give an example in my own life and in the life of my partner, who has now passed on, Michael Toms, that we feel like we were mentored. When we first started off, we were in our early 30s, and we were mentored by some great, great elders, Arbuckminster Fuller, Bucky Fuller, Joseph Campbell, to mention a couple. And these people were in their 80s at the time, and they have helped form us and form this work that I'm doing and we're doing right now, these conversations. I'm so grateful to them. I'm here with Ron Pevney, and he's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, centerforconscious-eldering.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide.